Miss Jane Austen, late of Green Park Buildings, Bath, but presently laying claim to nowhere in particular, given her esteemed father's recent death and the subsequent upheaval in domestic arrangements, might never be accused of dissipation. Not for Jane the delights of the ton, who may dance until dawn at the most select assemblies, or haunt the private gaming hells where hazard is played so scandalously high. At her time in life, and she is hard on the heels of 30, there is something a little unseemly in a desire for modish dress, or a taste for fashionable watering places, or a reckless disregard for social convention. Accustomed from birth as she has been to the modest lot of a clergyman's daughter, Miss Austen may only witness the habits of her more materially fortunate brethren with shocked dismay, and trust that her fervent prayers, sent heavenward in all the humility of a woman mindful of her end, might serve as intercession between the fallen and their Maker. Unless, I observed to myself with satisfaction on the present occasion, the more materially fortunate brethren determine our Jane to be worthy of a little dissipation on loan. A visit to a race meeting, perhaps, in all the glory of a barouche landau excellently placed for viewing the horses, a picnic hamper overflowing with good things, and attendant footmen stifling in their livery. There can be few pursuits so conducive to the flutter of an ivory fan or the delicate flirtation of a muslin sunshade. And where, but at the Canterbury races, in the very midst of August race week, might one find all the excesses of human folly so conveniently placed to hand? Within the compass of my sight, I assure you, were any number of incipient scandals. The countenance of more than one gentleman was flushed with wine and the course's promise, or perhaps the anxiety attendant upon heavy betting, for in the decision of a moment fortunes might be made or lost, reputations sacrificed, and ruin visited upon more than merely the horse. From the vantage of their gay equipages, ladies young and old flirted with every passing swain, and offered raspberry cordial or spruce beer to such as were overcome by the heat. Our friends, the Wildmans from nearby Chilham Castle, the Edward Taylors from Biffrens Park, and the Finch Hattons of Eastwell Park in their elegant green barouche, all chattered gaily across the distance separating their parties. Footmen unpacked the heaviest of the hampers and decanted the spirits from 100 bottles, while stable lads walked the patient carriage horses under whatever shade might be found. One dark-haired young woman, tricked out in a very fetching habit of red bombazine with a tricorn hat and feathers, held pride of place on the box of her own perch phaeton, a daring gesture in so public a gathering, and not for the faint of heart. It was a cunning little equipage, built for speed and grace, and possibly not unsuited to a lady's use in St. James Park, but a rare sight indeed among the serviceable coaches of Kent. She drove a pair of matched greys and led a snorting black gelding behind, or rather her tiger did. He was a diminutive, crab-faced fellow with a bent back, stifling in gold braid and livery, who sat hunched at the phaeton's rear, awaiting his mistress's commands and feeding an occasional bit of green stuff to the snorting black. As I watched, the figure in scarlet drew a whip-point from her collar and tossed it to an admirer standing at the phaeton's wheel. He caught it neatly and held it to his lips like a spoil of victory. She threw back her head and laughed. I might have inquired as to the lady's name, but that I espied my brothers approaching the Austen carriage, and thus dismissed the fair unknown without regret. I must confess that even Jane will grow weary of fashionable absurdities when treated to their display for so long as 3 months. In June, my sister Cassandra and I shook off the dust of Bath and descended upon Kent and all the splendour of Godmersham, my brother Edward's principal estate. Note: Edward Austen, 1767 to 1852, was third among the 8 Austen children. In 1783, at the age of 16, he was adopted by a wealthy cousin, Thomas Knight II, from whom he inherited 3 estates: Godmersham in Kent, and Steventon and Chawton in Hampshire. Edward lived a life of privilege and ease quite beyond the reach of his siblings. In 1812 he took the surname of Knight. Editor's note.